Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are here for a very timely episode, I think. This is our discussion and deep dive into Ringo Starr's Zoom In EP that just came out a couple days ago officially, although we'd been hearing dribbles of songs for a while now. There's only five, and we had two of them already dangled in front of us for quite a while. But anyway, we're going to have a little discussion about Ringo's EP, as well as maybe a good place to get started here is, why an EP? And what do you think about this whole idea? Because now, before we, we found out that there's going to be another EP from Ringo coming out in October. So, Chris, what do you think about this whole idea?
Yeah, I really, to be very frank, am not sure, because he's getting he's getting an album's worth of press for five songs here.
Right.
Like, he's been on a big YouTube interview with the guy from the Black Pumas. He had several. I mean, I just searched Ringo new EP, and he up pops about 20 different articles.
Yeah.
And he was on Colbert, and so he's making the rounds as if it's a full blown album. I don't think hardly anybody else who releases an EP gets this amount of press. So maybe he's getting maybe he's got the right idea as far as that goes, that he can get just as much press by releasing a few songs than he can by releasing an album. But it's awkward to me. It's kind of odd.
It is, and it feels that way. I think he's kind of milking the fact that, or at least promoting this EP, is, to borrow one of our favorite lines from Paul McCartney's McCartney 3 about it being in Rockdown. It seems to be like, the songs, he's making this connection that we're in, Zoom In, we're all dealing with that and the frustrations. There's waiting for the tide to turn, kind of trying to make things better. Here's to the nights we're going to overcome, so there's this theme, and I think that's kind of making the rounds with it. But I agree. I think it'll be weird. Is this going to happen again in October? We're going to have the same trips to the talk shows and to the press. And
I mean, I suppose it's a good way to do it if you want to keep yourself in the, keep attention on your albums. Maybe he felt like he wasn't getting enough attention for his previous few releases, which, we reviewed a couple of those relatively favorably. The Postcards from the Paradise, I think we gave it a pretty good review. So, but let's give this its own review.
Okay. Yes, let's do that. And just as an aside, I did watch the Colbert appearance. It was a little strange. He didn't really talk about this at all. It was all about the Beatles Get Back movie. And then at the end, he sort of like said, "Oh, it's available on cassette. And there, new album."
This is something I want to. These EPs, I get this EP thing, but I don't know. I think it was like available on Amazon for $13.
I'm not seriously for five songs.
$13 for. I mean, maybe the price has changed by now.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, that's outrageous.
But Chris, there was a colored vinyl.
Oh yeah. Oh brother.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Strange. I'm just trying to compare it to McCartney 3, which. Paul pulled out all the stops for that promotion, and it did very well. And now it starts to die. It's died out, except he brings back this other project that will be, these cover songs of the album. So now it's still kind of circulating in the press, which I don't think you and I are really too excited to listen to.
You think there's going to be a Ringo Zoom In Imagine?
One can only hope.
I did want to say too, we were talking about the press, YouTube interview from Black Pumas, Eric Burton, talking to Ringo. I liked it. I thought they had a good, nice rapport, and Eric kind of kept zooming the a topic back on the material. I think that's part of the problem is when he does these interviews, everybody wants to talk about the Beatles and stuff like that. ask the same dumb questions about the Beatles.
Right.
Every time. So I did appreciate that. That was like, well, we're, you know, he was actually talking about the process of recording it. Some people in the room, some people not, and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. So that and actually that's a good segue to starting to talk about the album, the EP itself, because it is another everything but the kitchen sink kind of production here with Ringo. Yeah. With we've made this point many times on our podcast about how Ringo, he really has to rely on the goodwill of others to make the music happen. And there's no shortage of people involved on this EP.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
But I think he sort of mishandled it this time, if you ask me. And Exhibit A is the lead track, the first one that we all got, Here's to the Nights. Do we need 13 guest singers on one song, Dave? None of which get their own solo.
No.
So you can't really hear. It's like a you can hear. I think the few people you can pick out Paul.
Oh, you definitely,
because we're he's
wailing
familiar
too
with Paul, and you can hear Sheryl Crow a little bit, and you can definitely hear Lenny Kravitz when he comes in.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we want to list all these songs?
Oh man,
guest singers on here.
Well, we've got Paul, Joe Walsh, of course, Corinne Bailey Ray. Eric Burton, who you just mentioned, Sheryl Crow. I don't know how you say this, but it's Phineas. Okay.
Phineas is usually works with the top female singer in pop right now, Billie Eilish.
Oh, okay. Okay. Who Ringo delivered the Grammy Award to. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, it's a little strange. I guess he's working with some of the newer people.
Dave Grohl, Ben Harper, Lenny Kravitz, Jenny Lewis, Steve Lukather, of course, who plays guitar on this, Chris Stapleton, and Yola.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton, a country star. Mm. You know, I think you look at this list of names and it's kind of across the board. Like some people who are up and comers, like the Eric Burton and Phineas, and you know, and some older, obviously
Joe Walsh.
Talking about old.
Yeah.
So a nice arrangement of people. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're sort of misused. It's they're all singing at the same time. It's all in the chorus. So you can't really pick them out. And so if I was Jenny Lewis, I'd be like, oh, I did this and I barely can be heard. What was the point of this, you know?
I wonder if this was conceived because there's a video and that's where you see everybody. I wonder if it was maybe conceived that, everyone will watch the YouTube video because that was released first. And then you'll see, Jenny Lewis is on this, or there's Sheryl Crow, or there's Dave Grohl. And maybe, you know, then you can sort of see where they sing. But I'm with you. I hear Paul McCartney on his kind of screaming Paul voice, 78-year-old style at this point, and kind of in the cracks, but
you can't really pick Corinne Bailey.
No, the rest just are a wash.
Ben Harper, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, why on earth did he not do just like 3-4 people on this song, 3-4 people on the next tune, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out is perfect. To do a Zoom-like thing they were showing in the first video. So I don't understand.
Spread the wealth a little bit here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, or at least have them sing like a line, like Sheryl Crow gets a line.
Mm-hmm. Paul Lake gets
Kravitz,
a line.
And then they're all singing all together. And it's sort of like, We Are the World sort of.
Yeah.
So,
we should say the song is written by Diane Warren, also, yes, who has quite a long history of being a songwriter and written 9 number one songs, 32 top tens, big star in the 80s, or big songwriter and singer in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah,
so,
Because You Love Me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to miss a thing from Armageddon, that song.
Yeah, there's a whole slew of hits. So I don't know. One thing I'll say about this EP overall, and this is very much part of it, I feel like there's a triteness to, and just a platitudes, and maybe take that as a criticism if you want, but I feel like all the song titles are cliches, platitudes, extremely obvious sorts of things, and I feel like that kind of weighs down this idea, or just this whole theme, and this song particularly.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. The lyrics of this particular song compared to some of the other ones, I think, are a little bit better.
Yes.
I like there's a turnaround that they do of, they say right now, right here, and then later it says right here, right now.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I sort of liked some of that, but you're right. It is very like, the nights we will remember. You know, it's like very, very plain. It's very, very plain platitudes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So here's to the nights overall, though. What would you? What do you?
What scale do we want to use for these? 1 to 5, or maybe a 3? I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. It's probably the. Quite frankly, probably his second best song on the whole thing here.
Yes. So moving along to the next one, this one was kind of an odd. Well, there's a person that I didn't expect to be on it, and that's Zoom In, Zoom Out with Robbie Krieger of The Doors playing guitar on it. And so obviously lots of play here with Zoom, because we're all on Zoom, and I don't know. Where do you want to take this one?
It's not great. Pretty lame song. It's not as lame as Everybody's on the Internet. What's up with that? Which was on one of the dumbest lines in Ringo's previous album. The guitar is fine on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the bass is good. Jeff Silber, who plays the bass on this, is the co-writer of the song Wind Beneath My Wings. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. No, that's well, he sure made it to the bank on that one.
Yep, and Benmont Tench is on this too.
Yeah, Tom Petty's former
a heartbreaker. Yeah.
Yeah, keyboardist. Yeah.
But I just this one really falls flat for me. My wife was cracking me up. So my wife comes into the room, and the previous song was playing this morning, and she's like, "Is this Christian music?" That cracked me up. And then
super lame.
And then the other day I was playing Zoom In, Zoom Out, and she just went, lame.
That's what I texted you. Super lame. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. And, a little too cute that he's talking about Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it would have, like I said, maybe it would have helped had it actually been some guests on it.
Yeah.
And been like a Zoom sort of video. It would have at least like made some sense. But otherwise, it's just sort of like a pretty, pretty basic rock,
bluesy
rock song that's not got. I will definitely not be spinning this one.
No, right? No. So, yeah, so you've got that one, the title cut, I guess. And then the third one, I don't know if this is the one you're talking about here, but I kind of like this one a little bit.
Dave, are you off somewhere? I see you in your background. You're off somewhere in a cabana. So
I am. I'm going to. Yes, I want to learn how to tango. So can you teach me to tango?
I actually really like this one. I think it's got great energy to it. I love the start of it with the great drums.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we should say Ringo is the only drummer on the album. So that's always great. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, and sounds great. Ringo sounds good throughout on drums.
Yeah.
So this one, back to Teach Me to Tango here, though. It's got good energy.
Mm-hmm.
We get this keyboard sound that's sort of like the same keyboard sound as in 96 Tears. Remember that?
96
Yeah, so it's like,
kind of ham. It's a Hammond, probably. Yeah.
Yes, yes, I think it is listed as Hammond on the in the credits. But I kind of like the odd lyrics about cabanas.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
His voice sounds a little different on this than it usually does, and I prefer it. I kind of I kind of like the haphazard delivery, and it's just sort of, it's got a different energy to it than these songs usually do.
It reminded me almost like a little talk singing, kind of getting a lot of cramming in words in a short amount of time, and like sort of like a little bit sassy in a way, and I liked it.
Come on and teach me to tango.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this one. I could have, if it was me, I would have scaled back the production just slightly, and let's get rid of all these. I don't need any of these backup vocals.
There's only 12 people on this track. I mean.
Yeah. It's a really.
It's a sparse tune. Only 12 people, including 4 background vocalists. So,
but this one's definitely the best song of the album.
Yes,
me
too.
And it's been, I've actually been kind of singing it around and stuck with me as an earworm.
Yeah.
Now the next one, Waiting for the Tide to Turn. How big of a reggae guy are you, Dave?
In high school, I owned Bob Marley Legend, and then. Okay. Yeah, that's about my reggae love. I mean, I like Bob Marley, but yeah.
I was thinking, and Ringo's personality does kind of match up with the reggae Rastafarian philosophy. By the way, there's a great I think I mentioned this once before, but there's a great documentary on Bob Marley out there somewhere called Marley, I think, which really for the first time really explained to me Rastafarianism and what it is. So I'd dig into that if you're a music fan and like Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind this song. It's not like a dud. I generally prefer authentic reggae to like Police, Linda and Paul, Ringo reggae.
Yeah, yeah.
But music wise, particularly, it's pretty good track.
Yes.
And it sounds good. All natural. Like, I know there are keyboards and stuff, but it sounds a lot more genuine of a track than some of these with the, particularly on this last track, the horn sounds like the last track. Terrible.
I'm with you on this for the music. It's got very reverb heavy, and maybe that is good in a way because it kind of gives it an atmosphere, which I like. And Nathan East who's played with Ringo quite a bit now, Eric Clapton's former bandmate, sounds good on bass.
Yeah.
And Zelma Davis, I don't know anything about her, but she sings background and does some kind of vocal fills at work.
This is the only one I'd like, oh, those background vocals are pretty good.
Yeah, they work on this one. But yeah. It's marred again by the cliche, like the just pedestrian lyrics and the platitudes, waiting for the tide to turn, which is cool, but it's also in a minor key and it's a little bit dark sounding. So it's an ominous tide to turn, maybe. I don't know. But it just, the lyrics kind of lose it on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there, but I still think it's one of the better.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'd say it's number 2, maybe from after Teach Me to Tango.
How many skippers could you have on?
Well,
anyway, Dan.
You only have five songs. So. Yeah,
but this morning, Dave, I sometimes ask my device, who I won't mention name of, just start speaking. I ask my device to play the latest release from Ringo. And she, for some reason, only played the first 4.
Oh.
And I was like, thank you.
Thank you. She knows. She knows.
Because this 5th one is definitely the weakest effort of the bunch, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It's a decent groove. This is Not Enough Love in the World. It's a decent groove, but the keyboard horn sounds terrible. The very very, very trite lyrics.
Real bad.
Yeah. Just real bad. Not worth the effort.
No. I mean, again, the not enough love in the world is already a cliche. And kind of a weird way to phrase it, too. Not enough love in the world, and it's sort of a negative.
Ba,
yeah.
Ba.
Like, yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, it's kind of a downer for the end of the EP, which makes me wonder if there's the second EP coming. Maybe it's you could put them together and it'll make a nice album. This is right in the middle of the album or something. I don't know what the sequencing, but yeah, very weak keyboard sounds. And you had real horns on Teach Me to Tango. Why don't you just get them in on this other song? Because you actually could get some players. So
yeah, I don't know. This is Steve Lukather on guitars mm-hmm. here, and Joseph Williams on keyboards, and
yeah,
they're listed as background vocals, but it sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds weird. It's a weird song. It's not,
yeah,
it doesn't come together. It's really weak.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics throughout are trite, but this is the most nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know there's been some positive, like really enthusiastic reviews of this
yes.
EP, and I think it's just love for Ringo, and we do love Ringo, right. Even though we, you know, tend to kind of have a go at him in these reviews, but we gotta be honest, you know.
Yeah, I know,
and the it can be done. You can have a Ringo song that. Exhibit A is the third song.
Right, exactly.
You can have a Ringo song that works, that's clever, has a turn of phrase that's not... Teach Me to Tango is something somebody has said before, but it's not as completely trite and meaningless as... You got to zoom in to zoom out. You got to meditate so that you can connect with people. It's like, okay, but...
Yeah.
Zoom in, zoom out is I think he in all of his interviews he's like saying that like it's so
like it's like, very clever.
Clever. It's like the most clever thing you've ever heard.
Well, you know, you mentioned the reviews and yeah, a lot of them have said that one I read was extremely positive. A couple others were in the 3-star range saying that Ringo, this is what we expect. Peace and love. Kind of, you know, middle of the road, real consistent. I would say that a lot of his albums in the last 15 years all blend together. They have no distinctive qualities because they're all really consistent and just kind of go. And this falls into that category. I have one review, though, from The Independent that was pretty brutal.
That's the English newspaper?
UK, yeah, UK Independent. Gives it a 1-star.
Ooh.
And it starts out by saying, it lists all the vocalists on the first, Here's to the Nights. And then it says, the result, I'd like to zoom out from this virtual happy hour, please. And star... who continues to market himself as being all about peace and love, man, has produced an overstuffed pillow of an EP that seeks to calm all of the world's aches, but just ends up sounding schmaltzy and smothering. It sort of goes on from there with We Are the World was mentioned here. Oh, Hallmark card lyrics about togetherness and reaching for the stars and living out loud. and then the final... thing I'll quote here, peace and love are fine concepts. Certainly the world is more complicated in 2021 as it was 50 odd years ago, if not more so. Except the conversations driving 2021 are more nuanced than ever, and slapping peace signs on everything is about as helpful as a black Instagram box with PR approved copy from an advertising agency. Star's aims are entirely pure with Zoom In, I'm sure, but his internet connection is unstable.
So, wow. Pretty brutal,
yeah. So I don't think you and I would probably give it that, be that harsh, but
no, definitely not,
because there are some redeeming qualities.
Yeah, there's some redeeming qualities. Like we said, the drums are good throughout.
Yeah,
Ringo's vocals throughout sound pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
I like I said, I really like him on Teach Me to Tango. Yeah. I hope he goes that direction.
New
a
style.
More. I don't know what it is. It's a different recording or the way it was produced or what. But I hope they do that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not quite Rex Harrison, but having a little recitative Ringo is kind of to me an enjoyable change of pace at least.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad.
And certainly worth a spin. You don't even have to pay for it. If you just listen to, on Spotify services, you can check it out. And
I don't know who's buying the colored vinyl, but
yeah,
guys don't.
Or the cassette.
The cassette, yeah.
Yeah, you can get the cassette. But anyway, we'll look forward, I guess, to October and see part two or the second EP and see if Ringo's back to do all the rounds. Before we finish up here, I have to get your opinion. What do you think of Ringo's new hair style here? Kind of the messy look.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all in for that. And not just his new hairstyle, but his new art
right.
projects that he's taken up with this color art mm-hmm. wheel or whatever he's doing. And he's got it right behind his head in all these interviews. And I'm like, that's actually kind of cool looking.
It is.
Wouldn't mind if I had, you know, if I had to buy a Ringo created art piece, I'd be into it.
Yeah, I think so too. And actually the pictures look cool on the zoom in the EP. He's got a that wheel thing. Yeah, then the piece now.
I'll tell you this with Ringo. I'd like in these interviews he's sort of like, oh, I'm not going to no studio.
No.
If I can't record it here, then screw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I do like as he gets older, he's sort of like, eh.
He's comfortable with himself at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He obviously loves going out and going and touring, and hopefully he'll be able to do that again at some point and seeing the fans and throwing that peace sign up and just cheering everybody up for a night.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you're looking for this to cheer yourself up.
Yeah.
After, say, your favorite team devastatingly loses in the second round of a tournament, then I don't think it's going to... Well, you know, it has cheered me up a little bit talking about it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, there you have it. There's our take on Zoom In, and that's all I've got on that. So,
yep. Well, we're going to zoom out, but you can zoom into our Facebook page or follow me at Christy Bragg on Twitter.
Send us an email at ivegotabeatlespodcast@hotmail.com. And
I got a tweet recently that said somebody knew who had been listening and it just they were communicating freshly.
Hmm.
They'd been listening for a long time and very complimentary. We loved it. We love that you're listening. We love to hear your if you want to give us a positive review somewhere. We've gotten some nice reviews on iTunes, and you know, it helps us out. We appreciate it, and we're going to keep cranking out great episodes here, Dave.
Excellent. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be back at you soon with another episode.